This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. The Open Team finals are done and dusted, Barry. It was so exciting, wasn't it?
It was. I don't know how many of our listeners were watching, but it was pretty interesting stuff. Unfortunately, it wasn't on BBO. You could watch the live scores, which means, although you couldn't see the hands, you knew what the results were at each table and you knew whether there were imps coming in or going out. And it was pretty close. The Yen team did get a little bit of a lead on at one point. That was Jeremy Fraser-Hoskins, Zachary Yan, Lysandra Zing, and Tim Pan. The other team, the Mace team, Brian Mason, Malcolm Mayer, Ian Barrington, Graham Tufnell, they closed and they got actually hit the lead at a, I don't know, maybe stanza four or stanza five out of the six stanzas. And then the Yan team got away again and ended about 20-something imps ahead. But then it started to just slowly get a little bit closer. And then with two boards to go, the Yan team was leading by six imps.
I was so keen to find out what was happening because I was actually driving back from Thames. I rang up Barry, what's happening? I would have had to pull over and I couldn't because I needed to be home by 5:30. Oh, exciting.
I told her there's still two boards to score and there's six imps in it.
Bloody hell.
Anyway, from being six imps in front, they ended up six imps behind. So a sad tale for the Yan team, but a great effort nonetheless to knock over probably the favourites in the semi-final and to all but win the final as well. But anyway, well done to the winning team, Brian Mace, Malcolm Mayer, Ian Barrington and Graham Tufnell. So they'll be joining Matthew Brown and Michael Woodley.
Michael Woodley, in Denmark.
One team will be going to the APBF, and I'm sort of hoping that it might be that second team. That would be a good opportunity for them.
Well, again, it's experience, isn't it? Out of the team that actually won, has all of them represented New Zealand in some form before? Malcolm Mayer has.
I don't know for sure, but I don't know whether they all have.
Ian Barrington has.
may have played in the mixed. Not sure about
Graham Tufnell. He went to Hong Kong, didn't he?
Graham Tufnell has played for New Zealand before. It hasn't been for quite a while. Probably the same could be said for Brian Mace. I think he probably has played for New Zealand, but not recently. In fact, I'm sure he has. He's played in the seniors, if nothing else.
Okay. Well, it was pretty exciting. They must be gutted. But, you know, that's bridge. Every board counts. You just shut off the last one, don't you? And away you go on the next one.
We'll all wait to see who goes to. Yeah, I guess, I don't know whether the winning team gets a chance to go to both. They could go to Denmark and to the APBF. I guess perhaps they could, but they don't usually. So maybe they'll go to Denmark. I'm sure they'll go there. And maybe it'll be interesting to see who the selectors talk to and what happens, who gets to go to the APBF.
Right. Good on them. How many A points do you think they would have picked up over the weekend? Quite a few.
I'm pretty sure I know how many, Mariana.
Okay.
How many do you think for winning a New Zealand trial or coming a close second?
Would it be a 28 or a 10?
They get absolutely nothing.
Shut the front door.
Really? It's not an A-point event. It was a trick question. So, yeah, it was not an
A-point
event.
After all that blood, sweat and tears, they walk away with nothing and a silver medal.
And they don't even get any C-points.
Oh, please. Goodness.
So it's all about representing your country. So that's what they're trying to do. And I guess a few A points probably wouldn't have made them feel much better.
Yeah, but guess what? Next time there's a trial, they'll be in that and they'll be that little bit more experienced. I wonder if Tim and Lysandra are going to trial for the mixed now.
I understand they are trialing in the mixed. So
great. Oh, that's awesome. And the other two lads, well, they just need to find somebody else to play with.
That probably would happen. I mean, if they did, I don't think either of them are playing in established mixed partnerships.
Yep.
You can't just sort of, they don't usually let you just meet somebody at the bar and then go and play in the New Zealand trials with them. That doesn't usually happen. I think Lysandra and Tim will certainly, be trialing. What you can do these days is if we get in, we're going to play this, and this, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, because Denmark isn't until August, people can say this is what their partnership is going to play.
Yeah.
Before then. That was the story of the New Zealand trial. So now we wait to see what happens, to see who goes to the Bermuda Bowl, who goes to the APBF, And then, of course, once that's all done and dusted, because I also don't know who the third pair will be for the APBF. I don't know whether Matthew Brown and Michael Wibley will go to both. Maybe they will.
I see.
So there might be a third pair that needs to be selected. And then after that, of course, we've got the mixed trials in February.
All right. So I went to the Rotorua Christmas party. They do a great job, Barry. Really good job. Congratulations to the Yules. They took out first place. And then second was Mike Curry and Christine Gibbons. Third.
Mike Curry and Christine Gibbons, by the way, they had a pretty handy sort of an average. They scored 66 and 58, so they averaged 62 and a half. That would win you most tournaments. They were 8% behind the Yules. They were well ahead with a 67 and a 65.
65, yeah. So they had a great average of 66.
29 tables, 58 pairs, pretty decent sized field.
It was great and all the quilting. And I didn't win a raffle. So they had a beautiful homemade cake and then they had a nice hamper. And the quilts that they have hanging around the place are absolutely beautiful. I couldn't tell you how talented the persons or persons that did them. Amazing. And I didn't win the bloody patchwork quilt either.
You know, I was following Mariana's progress, listeners. I was watching to see how she was doing during that. And I thought she was a bit hard done by. Usually I have no sympathy for her at all, as you all know. But I had a look and they scored 52 and 55, two quite respectable scores. Well, on the day, that was only good enough for 22nd. I thought that was a bit harsh.
That was a bit hard. But it was good fun. Oh, the other thing too, I went as a Christmas present and I had a hat that was a Christmas tree, so I was a present under the tree. And Cherie went dressed as the angel on top of this tree. We didn't win that prize either. But the two matching elves that won the best dress up, they did look pretty awesome. Well done, Rotorua.
Come on, you have to tell me, who were the two elves? I bet you don't know their names.
Oh, no, I don't know. I didn't get
Where
to
were
see
they from?
Them at all. No, I don't know that either. I didn't get to see
there,
them at all.
Listeners, we send her over there as our on-the-spot reporter at the Rotorua Open, and this is what she comes back with. That's what I have to work with, guys.
P.S., I got an email. If you did go to the Christmas party, two people contacted the club and told them that they tested positive for COVID.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I wish I didn't open that email because I'm flying to Dunedin, so I'm going to be stuck in an aeroplane. But I've got no coughs, sneezes, anything like that. Haven't got a temperature, so fingers crossed.
Are you taking the test?
No, I'm not going to take a test. I don't have any symptoms.
I went to a property that I've just sold, and this lady did a toxicology test for methamphetamine, and you have to swab the things and then put the little drips in there. And it all just looked so familiar.
Really?
You had to wait for the line to come up to say whether it was positive or negative. And it was just, and we're all just so familiar with those tests, aren't we, after COVID?
Oh, yeah.
It was exactly the same. If it's a solid line that comes up, it's negative.
I've got a question. Let's say your opponents have gone and bid a slam and partner makes a lead, dummy goes down, and the declarer takes ages. Maybe they're planning, or you always say take a little bit of time and start a plan. But what happens if they tank for ages, Barry? Do you start to feel a bit happy? Or are they just being extremely thorough with their line of play?
Maybe they just listened to the Bridge Zone and they've heard many, many times how many contracts have gone down because the declarer has played too quickly at trick one. I mean, it is certainly a good idea when you're in a slam. It's quite often it can be too late at trick two. So you do need to think ahead what you're going to do, what suits you're going to get up. They're going to count their tricks. And they're going to figure out how they're going to set up some more and what order they need to do it in and all that sort of stuff. So they have got quite a lot to think about. On the other hand, I guess the good news is they haven't got 13 tricks on top. If they're in a grand slam and they're thinking, you should be thinking, wow. I guess you should be looking at your hand and seeing how well-placed the few high card points you've got are. If you've got the Queen of Diamonds sitting over the Ace King or something, that's probably good news for your side. If it looks like any finesse they're taking through your partner is working, not so good.
I suppose then you have to just make the decision. If they are going to finish you, are you going to go up? Are you going to cover an honour with an honour? Are you going to think about partners' middle cards? Are you going to promote their tricks? It's a bit tough. But so you reckon if they're taking a little bit of time, then maybe you should start to be thinking a little bit harder because it's not as plain sailing as the bidding was.
think you should always be thinking hard against a slam. If that, whatever time they take it, trick one, declare, whether you're defending a slam or even a game or even a part score, at trick one, when they're thinking, you should be thinking as well. Should be trying to work out how many points your partner's got, what their lead was, what it was from, you know, what sort of distribution declarer's got, what sort of distribution you can expect from partner, that sort of stuff. You should always be doing that, whether it's a slam or a part score. If they're in two diamonds, you should still be thinking. In fact, in two diamonds, you probably should be thinking harder because you're probably going to take a few more tricks than you are against six no trumps.
Yeah, true. Now, this question is about people try and take a deep finesse. Should you hide the cards that you actually hold in your hand by playing, like if the king down to the 10 is the same value, should you play the king or should you play the 10? Is there any purpose in hiding the jack, the queen, and the king?
I guess the best false card, well, if you play the 10 and it wins, you've told the person on your right basically that you've got the king, queen, jack, because otherwise their partner would have won it. So I think you're probably better off, as a general rule, to play the king. So at least they don't know where the queen, jack, and 10 are.
There you go.
So yeah, playing the 10 tells the person on your right quite a bit, doesn't it?
So you play top of touching honours. Now let's quickly switch to if you are actually on lead.
If you're on lead, you'd lead the king. But if partner led you that suit, if partner who usually finds terrible leads managed to lead a suit that you had king, queen, jack, 10 in, you should, as a general rule, you should play the 10 so that, you know, they'll think that you might have the jack and the queen. Whereas if you play the queen, they're not going to play you for the jack.
For the check. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so play the lower of touching honours when partner leads the suit.
Quite often people play the top and they can't get it out quick enough. So there you go. So you shouldn't hide the cards that you are known to have then.
Well, you are hiding them in a way. By playing the king, you're hiding the queen, jack, and 10 from the person on your right. They still think their partner might have them.
Oh, yeah, sure. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
So this tip, actually, it relates a little bit to what you said earlier about covering an honor with an honor, whether you should cover or not. So if they lead the jack of hearts from on your right, and you've got the queen, and they've got jack small, you usually might as well cover. It might promote something in your partner's hand. But it all changes a bit if they've got jack 10 small and they lead the jack. Should you cover now?
No, I
And
don't think
why?
so. I think you should hold up. But what, is there a formula to hold up?
It's not a formula. If the 10's there, you can cover the 10 later. And there's no hurry for you. You can only cover one of them. So usually you should play low smoothly. Hey, maybe declare isn't going to be too scared to take the finesse because they're worried your partner might get in and do something. So, but be ready when they lead that jack from dummy. Don't think about it then and play low. It'll be too late. That's one of the things you should have been thinking about at trick one. I've got the jack and 10 of hearts there, and I've got the queen. What am I going to do if they lead the jack of hearts from dummy? Oh, that's right. I heard it on the bridge zone. I should just smoothly duck the jack and then cover the 10.
Keep it in tempo.
So don't cover the first of touching honors if they lead from dummy. It's usually right to cover the second one. But it's like all things in bridge. Occasionally, you might want to cover for whatever other reason, but in general, it's not right to cover the first one.
Okay.
Partner might have the nine or something, and if you cover the jack with the queen, they can then finesse your partner for the nine on the way back. But if you don't cover, they can't do that anymore. The only time when you might cover is when you've got, say, queen doubleton. If they play the jack and if you play low and it wins, now they play a low one and your queen just goes on nothing, that's no good. So you might cover then, and then you've just got to hope that if partner has got the nine, they've got good enough pips that they can look after themselves anyway. And the other news for the listeners is the president is gone. We've got a brand new president at the Hamilton Bridge Club.
Now I can play more bridge.
That's right.
No more washing tablecloths for me.
Oh, I thought about that. They still might drop them off at your place on the way past.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
G'day, Judge Geordie.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I've got a question from Jenny today.
Okay.
Oh, it was from her novice group. She asked a question, and I thought I should know the answer to this. And I know we've talked about it before, but I can't remember. You don't need to know the rest of the auction, but one of them bid four no trumps asking for aces, and the other one responded four diamonds.
Yep.
I know we've talked about it, but I can't remember what happens.
No, seriously, because I gave a ruling the other day at a club session to an experienced player, and they were a bit upset about the ruling because the new laws, not that new anymore since it was 2017, is about what was intended. So when you bid for no trumps and they bid four diamonds responding to show one ace or no aces, whatever it is they meant to show, they can correct that to what is the correct response to four no trumps for the number that they are showing, okay?
Right.
No penalty.
Okay, that's good. But it is funny that these things happen and they don't happen for so long that when it happens again, you think...
The thing about equity and the laws of bridge, and they decided they wanted to get a reasonable result instead of something that was pretty irrational because someone made a really stupid, simple mistake. So... Yeah. In general, like if you open two no trumps and your partner bids two diamonds, they can correct it to three diamonds. If it's a transfer, they can correct it to three diamonds, still transferring. The information's all there about what the partnership knows. There's no issue with it.
And I guess the thing about getting some weird result is, like in this situation, the four no trump, four diamond thing. I mean, if the four no trump person is barred, you could get some weird result, which might be in favour of the people that had the, you know.
Well, okay, so, but it could equally be horrendously bad. So
could be. I mean, yeah, but it's just like tossing coin, isn't it?
Everyone knows what was intended or what was meant, and so it's just a simple correction.
Oh, really? So it's no, it doesn't get
calls.
Okay, so it doesn't get classified as an insufficient bid.
Oh, absolutely, it's an insufficient bid. 100%, it's an insufficient bid. But if you make an insufficient bid, you can correct it to the same bid at the next lowest level, or you can make a comparable call. And then your partner's allowed to keep bidding. So it's absolutely 100% an insufficient bid. There is no discussion about that. And the opponents can accept it. And to some degree, they might want to, because there might be some doubt about what is meant over the insufficient bid. So you might give your opponents a better chance of going wrong. I don't know.
Wow. That wasn't as basic as I thought it was going to be.
No. Well, it was straightforward. Just this thing about comparable calls, it's quite hard to sort of get your head around sometimes what is comparable and what's not.
Well, if you mean to show one ace, the comparable call is the bid that shows one ace. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's all insufficient bids around that.
Wow.
Same with the transfer. You intend, you know, obviously most people play transfers and that's what you intended to do. So bidding three diamonds, you're still transferring. That is a comparable call, so that is allowed.
All right. Well, that was quick.
That is good. Good director's call is a quick one. You don't want that director around the table for too long, Mariana. Making a nuisance of themselves.
What do you think about the Open Team Trials, Julie?
Fantastic. Congratulations to everyone that took part.
Yeah.
Going down to the wire. I mean, wow. This was just...
The last three boards. Could we have... Yep. Even written the script any better.
There's always got to be someone who loses. It's a real shame because I think to play that many boards for that close an ending, just incredible.
Yeah, it was great.
I've been watching the Australian mixed trial, one of their quarterfinals. It came down to a margin of, I think, 3 imps in the end.
Ooh.
The team was behind virtually the whole way, got up the laser team and got up by 3 imps in the last board or two. So
yeah,
they were playing more boards. They played 120 boards to get to that situation.
Yeah.
Holy. Yeah, well done to the young chaps and chappies.
Yep.
They did incredibly well. All right.
Thank you, Julie. All good.
You. See you, Chicky.
Okay. Next thing we got to worry about, Julie, is we might end up playing against Tim in the trials.
Possibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. See ya. Thanks.
All right. Okay, bye.
We're heading into the after Christmas events now, Barry. We've got the Papatoa, which is a 3-day one. That's always a good one. I like going up to that. So we're going to make the hike up to Auckland. Happy to carpool, Barry.
Is it going to be the Blue Falcon or the Bath?
You don't want to be sitting in the back of that little thing and going up and down to Auckland.
Okay, yeah. So there's one more Christmas tournament to happen before Christmas, and that's the Wellington Christmas Cheer. And that's on next Saturday.
Pretty late, isn't it?
Well, they've got about 20-odd tables, so pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
See, nice. Your friend Morgan Booker from Palmerston North is playing with Colin Haywood.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie Marcroft and Gary Hodge, a couple of your other old mates from down there, they're playing.
Actually, Palmy did have their Christmas cheer. They had 62 62 players, and that was won by Charles Kerr and Anthony Kerr.
I don't think you're right. I think they had more than that. Well, I think they might have had 62 pairs.
62 pairs, yeah.
Oh, you said 62 players.
Oh, 62 pairs. Sorry, people. Yeah.
62, so 124 players, in fact.
Pretty good.
So Charles Kerr and Anthony Kerr won that one from Jan White and Ken Bateman.
Yeah, that's a long-standing partnership, that one.
It is indeed. So the Nina Hewitt Christmas Pairs was held in Otago over the weekend. That was won by Matt Blakely and Brad Johnston, both people who've appeared on the Bridge Zone in the past.
Yeah.
From Graham Stout and Judith Lobb, who also, they won a few things.
Oh, that's good. Anyway, if you've got anything happening, we're talking about 2025. If you want us to promote what's happening on the Bridge Zone, please drop us a line, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. Oh, and guess what? My Chris Stapleton concert tickets, I had somebody contact me. A listener's contacted me and said they would like to purchase them. So I've got one more to go, Luke Coombs, January 17th in Auckland. Give us a tingle if you want to have a look at those tickets. That'll be great. That's all for me.
I did get CC'd in on that email, so I saw that your tickets were getting collected. It's amazing what happens on the Bridge Zone sometimes. What's that email address again?
bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
We haven't had many lately. We'll read it out if you send us a decent one, listeners. Even an indecent one we might read out.
I was wondering if you were going to say that. I'm the angel here. He's the devil, as you know. So me, okay, angel, halo sparkling, I leave the smutty stuff up to him. Right. If we don't see you before Christmas, have a good one to all our listeners. We'll see you next week.
Bye for now.
Is there a formula to hold up?
It's not a formula, but if you yeah, there's no hurry for you to cover the... If the 10's there, you can cover the 10 later, and there's no hurry for you. You can only cover one of them. So yep. Usually you should play low smoothly. Hey, maybe Declare isn't going to be too scared to take the finesse because they're worried your partner might get in and do something.
Yep.
So, but be ready when they lead that jack from dummy. Don't think about it then and play low. It'll be too late. When you've seen, you should. That's one of the things you should have been thinking about at trick one. Is this, I've got the jack and 10 of hearts there and I've got the queen. What am I going to do if they lead the jack of hearts from dummy? Oh, that's right. I heard it on the Bridge Zone. I should just smoothly duck the jack and then cover the 10.
Keep it in tempo, yeah.
So don't cover the first of touching honours if they're led from dummy. It's usually right to cover the second one. But it's like all things in bridge. Occasionally you might want to cover for whatever other reason, but in general it's not right to cover the first one.
Okay. That sounds pretty clear.
That's, I mean, partner clear. Might have the nine. Partner might have the nine or something. And if you cover the jack with the queen, they can then finish your partner for the nine on the way back. But if you don't cover, they can't do that anymore. The only time when you might cover is when you've got, say, Queen Doubleton.
Right.
And if they play the jack and if you play low and it wins now and they play a low one and your queen just goes on nothing, that's no good. So you might cover then, and then you've just got to hope that if partner has got the nine, they've got good enough pips that they can look after themselves anyway.
Yeah. All righty, let's do a sign off.
Okay, so good. And the other news for the listeners is the president is gone. We've got a new one. We've got a brand new president at the Hamilton Bridge Club. Mariana's in retire. She's retired from the presidency.
Yay! Now I can play more bridge.
That's right.
No more washing tablecloths for me.
I want to talk about that. They still might drop them off at your place on the way past.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, people. So I think the tournaments are now coming into the Christmas tournaments, aren't they? I don't think there's a big Christmas tournament.
I think the Christmas tournaments are just about done, aren't they?
Yeah. We've got the Papatoa, which is a 3-day one. That's always a good one. I like going up to that. So we're going to make the hike up to Auckland. Happy to carpool, Barry.
So, is it going to be the Blue Falcon or the Bath?
on. You don't want to be sitting in the back of that little thing and going up and down to Auckland.
So we might get a ride in the Blue Falcon. Okay, yeah. So there's one more Christmas tournament to happen before Christmas, and that's the Wellington Christmas Cheer, and that's on next Saturday. So I don't know, they've got a few
pretty
entries
late,
in that.
Isn't it?
Let's do 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Looks like they've got about 20 odd tables, so pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
See, your friend Morgan Booker from Palmerston North is playing with Colin Haywood.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie Marcroft and Gary Hodge, a couple of your other old mates from down there, they're playing.
Yes, yeah. Hey, actually, the Palmy did have their Christmas cheer. They had 62 players, and that was won by Charles Kerr and Anthony Kerr.
I don't think you're right. I think they had more than that. Well, I think they might have had 62 pairs.
62 pairs, yeah.
Oh, you said 62 players.
Oh, 62 pairs. Sorry, people. Yeah.
62, so 124 players, in fact.
Yeah, pretty good.
So Charles Kerr and Anthony Kerr won that one from Jan White and Ken Bateman.
Yeah, that's a long-standing partnership, that one.
It is indeed. So so the Nina Hewitt Christmas Pairs was held in Otago over the weekend as well. And that was won by Matt Blakely and Brad Johnston, both people who've appeared on the Bridge Zone in the past.
Yeah.
From Graham Stout and Judith Lobb, who also they won a few things.
Oh, that's good. Anyway, if you've got anything happening, we're talking about 2025. If you want us to promote what's happening on the Bridge Zone, please drop us a line, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. Oh, and guess what? My Chris Stapleton concert tickets, I had somebody contact me. A listener's contacted me and said they would like to purchase them. So I've got one more to go, Luke Coombs, January 17th in Auckland. Give us a tingle if you want to have a look at those tickets. That'll be great. So that's all
yeah,
for
I
me.
Saw, I did get CC'd in on that email, so I saw that your tickets were getting collected. So yeah. It's amazing what happens on the Bridge Zone sometimes. What's that email address again?
Bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
We haven't had many lately. We'll read it out if you send us a decent one, listeners. Or even an indecent one we might read out.
I was wondering if you were going to say that. I'm the angel here. He's the devil, as you know. Yeah. So me, okay, angel, halo sparkling. I leave the smutty stuff up to him. All right. If we don't see you before Christmas, have a good one to all our listeners. And we'll see you next week.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring Bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.